get into my lesson, I want to take a moment to mention our veterans. You know, in our current cultural world, we have a lot of differing views about our country. And an awful lot of things maybe about what we have hold true in our country, about who we are and what we stand for. But for those that have lived and served in the armed forces, I want us to take a moment today to say thank you. If you have served in the services, in any one of our branches of service, would you please stand? If I won't embarrass you, would you please stand up? Thank you, Dan. I know that the most important freedom that there is the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Okay, I want you to know that. But I also want you to know that it's important for us to defend our freedoms, to have the right to be able to preach that message while we live here in our country. I hope you'll understand that the motivation for me wanting to say that because of that. I served 4 years in the United States Navy, and as I told fellow serviceman Mark Roscos, who had to be somewhere a little earlier today, I told him that I'd be willing to go tomorrow if they had a job for me that I could sit down in the chair or whatever, or not hurt anybody. He said he was willing to go too. But we love our country. We're grateful to be able to live here. Now, isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said what the scripture says, and then what? Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. It's a great privilege to be a child of the King, and have a great opportunity that we have today to worship together, watch our children come down, and David teach them a Bible story and illustrate it for them, and do a great thing. Those are precious moments in our lives, and I hope you see it that way and understand it that way as well. I would be, I think, remiss if I just didn't say thank you to our elders for their foresight and their forethought. I think they did an outstanding job this morning in our class, our combined class. And I know that they'll do a great job next week when we have our other combined class as we talk about installation or adding men to serve as elders. And I appreciate them so much for them wanting to do that and provide for us. I hope that you encourage the men who are serving and who continue to serve us and do so many great things to help us serve Christ here at the South Main congregation. I appreciate our elders very much. I hope you do as well. Leadership, Jesus style. I just want to say to you, I've never really preached this kind of a sermon the way I'm going to do it today. We've heard a lot of information already about some qualifications and some things the Bible tells us about what we're looking for when we're looking for a person of God, a man of God, to direct our thinking and to help direct the congregation, the body of Jesus Christ. But it's also, I think, a casualty maybe of just being human beings and not perfect, living in a world where we're influenced by a lot of different things that almost any subject can be sometimes confusing. I know there's a lot of things about leadership that we sometimes misunderstand. I want to illustrate it by telling you a little story here. It's about the cowboy by the name of Bud, who was grazing his herd on a mountain pasture when suddenly a brand new BMW advanced toward him out of a cloud of dust. And the driver, a young man in a Baroni suit and Gucci shoes and Ray-Ban sunglasses and a YSL tie, leans out of the window and asks him, if I can tell you exactly how many cows and calves you have in your herd, will you give me a calf? Well, Cowboy Bud says, sure, why not? So the uppy parts his car, he whips out his iPhone, he feeds into a NASA satellite that scans the area in a ultra-high resolution photo. The young man then opens on the digital phone in Adobe Photoshop and exports to it an image, a processing facility that's in Hamburg, Germany. And in seconds, he's beginning to receive data through his phone, and he prints out a 150-page full-colored report on his printer that he has right in his car, and he turns and says to Bud, you have 1,586 cows and calves. Bud says, that's right. So Bud watches the young man reach out and select one of the animals and looks on in amusement, actually, as he stuffs it in the trunk of the BMW. Bud says, hey, by the way, if I can tell you exactly what your business is, will you give me back my animal? Well, the young man liked the challenge. He said, okay, well, why not? He says, well, you're a United States congressman. The fellow says, wow, that's right. He said, how did you come to that conclusion? Did you just guess? He said, nope, no guessing required. That you showed up here, even though nobody called you, you wanted to get paid for an answer that I already knew to a question that I never asked you, and you used millions of dollars worth of equipment trying to show me how much smarter you are, and that you don't know a thing really about how working people make a living or about a cattle ranch, and for that matter, this is a herd of sheep. And then he said, Donald, would you give me my dog back? I know you've probably heard that story before, but I'm telling it to you to illustrate to you that as people, sometimes we can be real assured that we know where we're going and that we have all of the right information. And in fact, I've witnessed it in the near 50 years that I've been preaching in the church, how we've confused the concept of leadership in an autocratic style, which is what the world sees, and that's what we see illustrated to us most of the time, and confuse that and not really pick up on what the Bible teaches is what I'm calling Jesus' style of leadership, which is different than what the world's concept of leadership is. And in order to do that, I want us to read from a couple of passages of Scripture this morning. I want to try to instruct us a little bit. I'm not going to try to preach very hard at you, but I want you to see the difference in those two, because that's so important in my mind as we look to try to set people into place that could be elders. So in Mark chapter 10, we're going to read some verses here, beginning at verse 42. Jesus called them together, and he said, you know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. If you got a pen, underline those words. Not so with you. It will not be so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave, or your version might say servant, of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is a great passage to tell us what Jesus had in mind. I don't know why. I guess, again, because we're human, we perpetuate autocratic leadership in the body of Christ. It naturally seems, I think, probably from the human perspective, the best way to get things done. The very word leadership implies to most people a sort of top-down autocratic system. Although servanthood and teamwork is catching on, even out in the corporate world today, and they're beginning to use that model to help them grow their companies. Even the apostles themselves have that same autocratic kind of thinking in their own minds. And if you read all of the story, and we'll read about it in a minute in another place, how that they are even thinking autocratically themselves, that people will have some kind of position in leadership. They're even looking in advance for when Jesus' kingdom comes, for a place for them to be in that particular spot. But that is not what Jesus has in mind, nor is it what spiritually God had in mind, even under Old Testament rule, for people to be cared for. Even as, Ray, I believe you mentioned Ezekiel 34, passages that talk about the concept and the ideas of shepherding that take place even in those Old Testament passages. James and John, they want to change their relationship with the other disciples through a different means. Jesus says, we need servant leaders. It won't be like the Gentile rule. Remember what we read? How that they lord it over them. It shall not be so among you. That is not the kind of leadership that Jesus is looking for. I'm going to use this terminology. It's not necessarily biblical, even though it's founded upon the biblical principle. But I'm telling you that the ground is level at the cross. When Jesus comes and lives and dies, He makes everyone equal in the kingdom of God. No one stands above anyone else. I said no one stands above anyone else other than our Savior Jesus Christ. He is the only one who stands above us. He is our only ultimate leader. He is the one to whom we look. He is the one to whom we look for the direction. It is from Him and His apostles' teaching through the Holy Spirit and their teaching that we read from this morning that leadership is expanded and explained and how the church should be taken care of, the body of Christ. But no one in the body of Christ supplants the groom whom David so aptly said represented Jesus in the parable He taught the children today. And to get an amen on that, just make sure you're awake with me. Jesus is the authority. When you read, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth, you don't need another verse. Jesus is in charge of that. He is our ultimate leader. And He is looking for men who will lead the body of Christ by becoming like Him, like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus. I'm going to say to you, I don't believe that the disciples grasped that principle till especially until after the death of Jesus. Before it, they grappled with the human idea of someone coming along and being the guy that they could visualize. That's why they saw Jesus as an earthly king. That's exactly why they wanted to get a sword out and to defend him like a normal army would have done, or like it had done under the days of the kings in Israel. But it shall not be so among you, says Jesus. It will be a different kind of reward and a different style of leadership in this concept of greatness by service. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, does it help to know the Word of God? It sure does. Could you be like George Bailey was, whom I never heard him preach a sermon where he hardly used a word of his own? He tied together the Scripture most of the time, just going from one to another, making wonderful points out of what the Bible had already said. It was a true gift that he had. I could never duplicate it and would never hope that I would even try to go there. But it's good to know it. It's good to know the Word, because it is through the Word of God that not only do we have our faith, but that we have the continuous instruction in the sound doctrine, as we heard from our elders' teaching this morning. Jesus had a plan for us to help us. He didn't leave us without it. And He wants us to understand what it means to have greatness through servitude. So there's another passage of Scripture I'd like us to just glance at. In Matthew chapter 20 and verses 25 and following, Jesus calls them together and He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." Does this sound familiar? Did you just hear this in Mark 10? "You know that how the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whosoever wishes to become great among you shall be servant, and whosoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Now that was in response to the disciples having a mother come. Back up at verse 20, if your Bible is open and you want to look there, it says that the mother of the sons of Zebedee, with her sons worshiping Him and asking a certain thing of Him. And He said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" And she saith unto Him, "Command that these my two sons may sit, one on the right hand and one on the left hand, in your kingdom." What kind of leadership do they think the kingdom of God is going to have? They think that there's going to be special positions. And I'm telling you that that's why we fail so much in Washington, is that for too long we have too many special interests who get their way because they've been treated specially. Now, this is not a political speech. This is a leadership speech. I hope you'll see it. But it's not that way in the church. And if you have a view of elders meeting in a room with a closed door, making decisions for whatever it is we're going to do, you don't understand what God has commissioned them to do. The only thing they're doing in there is praying and observing and applying Scripture to where we will go and what we will do. And that's a large difference between the concept of having someone in charge that gives out or barks out certain orders. Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" And they say, "Oh, we are able." And He saith unto them, "That my cup indeed you will drink." He means they're going to suffer like He's going to suffer. not exactly like Jesus suffers, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for them for whom it hath been prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard about it, guess what? They had a filibuster. I mean, that's what would happen in Congress or the Senate, wouldn't it? They go to fighting and arguing about it because somebody was looking to get a leg up. Donald in the position. That's not what's happening here. That's not what we're about. That's not the idea. We do not look at people and look for some kind of quantitative or qualitative means of setting them into place. Elders do have authority, but it does not come from us, the church. The authority the elders are under are the authority of Jesus Christ, just like you and just like me in my daily life. Jesus is not looking for some quantitative meeting of certain standards. He is looking for a quality spiritual life. And He's looking for one like that out of men who will lead the church and the body of Christ. That's what's different in the kingdom of God. And He even, as we read, He even warned that there would be those even amongst leaders themselves that would not understand this and would let it run amok by pursuing their own kind of agendas. Jesus is the only one qualified to be called master because He alone knows how to handle power and authority. We are just simply following His instructions. That's why I say to you that in Bible times, under Jesus' rule, leaders smelled like sheep. Did you hear that? Leaders smell like sheep. At least they better. The idea that they would do something or just be leaders and not have anything to do with the sheep is not in Jesus' plan anywhere. They smell like sheep because that's who they deal with. They should. One of my mentors growing up and college professor and helper in developing me to be a preacher, he always taught the leadership class and said, if you have to look for an elder, you don't have one. Are you hearing me? These are real simple statements, and yet they ring with such clarity. If you have to look for someone, if you're looking around saying, gee, I wonder if he is, you don't have one. When someone says elder, you should probably already say, I know someone makes a great elder. That's because, well, as we might say in some circles, he are one. Because that's what he does. He works among the sheep. It's not a testing ground that is to be placed in an eldership. It's a place where you've already proven yourself to be who you are. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17 states and says, let the elders that rule well. Now, I wonder why those two are together, Tom. Rule and well. I guess it indicates that you could rule and not do it well. Rule well. Let them be counted worthy of what kind of honor? Who knows the word that goes in front of that word, honor? Isn't it double? Now, I'm not chewing you out, but I am informing you that we too often do not appreciate what we have and recognize that our elders are worthy of double honor because of what they do and because they love the Lord. If you think it was because, well, they made these decisions and I don't like that decision, well, shame on you. Because they are God's anointed. And it's what the Bible teaches. And I'm giving you this lesson this week. It'll be different next week. They gave me the freedom to do whatever I... Bob, preach a leadership lesson. This is what's on my heart about leadership. Appreciate what you have. Learn to love them. Learn to thank them for smelling like sheep. If you think it doesn't get messy in the sheep pen sometimes, try it. It does. Everything is not black and white. It takes prayer and tears and struggling to come to the right conclusions and decisions sometimes. They even hurt ourselves to make them sometimes. And yet, they must be done because that's why the way God has asked for it to go about. We know they're not supposed to be abusive. He knows, or we know that we are supposed to have freedom to be themselves. We would claim that for ourselves, wouldn't we? Everybody can't have the same personality. Jesus was always focused on the needs of others, wasn't he? Let this mind be in you, which was also in him. Isn't that what Paul encouraged us to do in Philippians 2? To be like Jesus. That's what these men strive to do, is to be that kind of individual. To be a partner in the ministry that you can serve in. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. I'm asking you, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13 or so, I think. I want you to, who's this written to? We beg you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. And are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them highly, very highly, in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Remember that while you're thinking about this. They need to be encouraged. And they need to be uplifted. Muzzle not the ox, is that right? That treads out the corn? Well, you wouldn't think of that, right? The laborer is worthy of his hire? I mean, the very least that we can do is to remember to give them the honor that they should have. These men wanted to have a power play. They wanted to have their spot in the right place. They were not yet willing. They were not yet, I'm going to say, baptized into the model of who Jesus is. The Jesus model is servant model. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you must be a servant. That's what Jesus says. This is not what Bob the preacher says. This is what the Scripture says. And that's where we should be. Jesus' style of leading other people. I don't know whether you know this, and I don't remember where I got this, but I'm going to read this to you. Hugging is healthy. The scientific community has proclaimed, I know they're not always right, okay? But they have proclaimed that hugging helps the body's immune system. So the next time you tell somebody, don't get near me, you might ought to think about saying, come hug me. Just saying. They also say it's a known fact that it helps cure depression. Helps cure it. Not my words. It induces sleep. Say you can't get to sleep at night? Maybe you need to hug a little. It reduces stress. Helps the worries from the day go away. It's invigorating. It's rejuvenating. There is not one unpleasant known of side effect. Oh, by the way, for the millennials, it's all natural, organic, naturally sweet, and 100% wholesome. It contains no pesticides, no preservatives, and no artificial ingredients. There are no movable parts, no batteries to wear out, no periodic checkups, no insurance requirements, no monthly payments, and inflation-proof, non-fattening, theft-proof, non-taxable, non-polluting, and of course, fully returnable. Ain't that the truth? So what have I got to say in all of this? I've left my notes. Sorry. I want you to pray for the future of South Maine, the church, the body of Christ. I'm not even beginning to say that you don't already do that. But I want you to especially right now in this process be praying about us. And I want you to think about what Jesus does. The thing that He illustrates to us. And I want you to remember that leadership is about influence and it is not about a position. It's not a position. It's the opportunity of influence for other people. And don't forget, no matter what, it's not up to you, not up to me, not up to the elders, it's up to Him. It's up to God. If you're God-believing, Bible-believing people, I know that you know in the deepest of your biblical heart that that's true. It's up to Him. We're asking God to guide us. I want to encourage you in your search and in your help. I hope you'll join us next week, that you'll be here and let us encourage you some more. Learn about selecting men for eldership. Learn about being a leader yourself. And this week, follow the model of Jesus and be great. And be a servant. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?